From historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Seminary Explores, conversations about people, politics, theology, and life with your co-hosts, Dr. Nelson Strobert and Dr. Gerald Christensen.
After 43 years of radio broadcasting, what will we expect from the new Seminary Explores on podcast? Hello, I'm Jerry Christensen, and my guest, I've already told you that, my guest is Nelson Strobert.
Good day. My name is Nelson Strobert, and my guest today is Jerry Christensen.
Already we've started off by repeating each other. We are the Smooth Brothers, if there ever was one. Well, what can we say but go right to the heart of things, Nelson? What in your view is in the future for you personally? I'll try to answer myself, and for the Seminary Explorers on podcast.
Well, I think the dynamics are going to really change using this technology. I was going to say new technology, but it's been around. But previously, we were very local. We had guests of local interest. Local issues, etc. But now we have to look at our conversation to a broader audience. And in a sense, it's a worldwide audience because we're part of the worldwide network. Mm-hmm. So I think that poses a different frame of reference for us as we ask questions as we look for topics.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one. And as a frame of reference, let's ask ourselves immediately, what about the goal, the purpose of this show? What are we going to try to accomplish? And let me suggest right away that I think that will carry over from our 43 years of experience. Of course, we weren't there all that time together.
But say some more about that.
About what our goal is. I think both of us are really committed to conversation. We're not the confrontive shows that you see on cable television,
very much so.
The talk shows where one person talks, despite the fact that I've interrupted you twice already. We really do want to have people respond and let them talk and let them spin out where they are. I think it's kind of the golden rule of radio broadcasting. Yeah. I want people to listen. I want to listen to people like I would like to have them listen to me.
Exactly. I think it's this listening and conversation that has been very important to the program and to the popularity at the local level of the program, because people were able to hear different views and to hear us dialogue and hear the guests dialogue with us, and that's been an important ingredient.
Furthermore, it's going to be focused on the community's issue, not simply on our own issues. That's another change from some talk radio or some cable television. We want to find out what is the interest of our guests and the contributions of our guests to community building, even if they're not necessarily the views of those who are interviewing them.
Right, and when you use the word community, community in the very broadest sense, yeah, of the word.
From the local and the regional, at best we are regional when we are on radio, and now to national and international.
And international.
Correct. While we're at it, though, you know, we continue to call this, and the committee that has invited us to do this wanted us to continue to call it The Seminary Explores. You personally, have you seen this as a religious program? Depending on how you define religion.
That's true. That's true. The program is not religious in the popular sense of the word. I think it has been a program that looks to that emerged from the seminary and asking probing questions that are emerging from this theological community, and so which meant that that it was programming of interest to a broad audience, or an ecumenical audience, if we want to use those words, that becomes so important.
I think of people who before us were great explorers, not just of the Christian tradition, but of the world, like St. John, like Luther, and like many modern theologians, that to be a Christian and to be engaged in the world does not need to be exclusive. That we can do both.
Exactly, and I think when I think of the founder of this institution, Samuel Simon Schmucker,
right.
You know, who was I would define as a pietist, mm-hmm. But at the same time, he did not want his piety to interfere with the intellect. He did not see that as a detriment. Mm-hmm. He wanted to cultivate the mind. I think we've been able to ask questions, mm-hmm. and broad questions that may have raised the eyebrows of some people. Yeah. You know, why are theologians or teaching theologians asking these questions? And yet these are fundamental to who we are as a thinking and reflective community.
A good example of Schmucker is that he was anti-slavery,
yes.
which might not have been popular in the church at that time. And he was also accepted modern science pretty much in a 19th century way. And of course, the courses he allowed to be taught or taught himself had to do with what he called modern philosophy and all the rest.
Exactly. Yeah.
So this program that we're about to launch on will be one in which it is religious and at the same time. Can I say secular, or is that again depend on how?
No, I wouldn't say. People might say that. I have to merge. I don't see this.
The difference between
the two, since we are engaged in the world,
whether we want to or not.
Exactly, and I think we're trying to carry on the tradition that Schmucker started.
I think I always think again of St. John. You know, God so loved the.
World. That's right. Yeah. Well, sometimes we forget.
not just the individuals on this program and not just the church, but the whole world. And I think this is a favorite position of yours. And in fact, I may have adopted it from you. So you can either correct me or elaborate on it. The notion of Christian vocation is not something above and beyond basic faith. That is to say, I have to do these things in order to become a Christian.
Exactly.
I'm a Christian, and so I'm engaged in the world.
I'm engaged in the world because I am a Christian. You know, as Jesus was engaged in his community.
Yeah.
You know, he calls us to be engaged in the communities and the context in which we find ourselves.
I often think of people who believe that Christianity is some sort of thing where, well, all right, now I've been baptized, now I really have to go out and do something to merit forgiveness or merit and it's the other way around. It's not spirituality or baptism plus something.
Exactly. We're not adding anything to what has already been done by God.
Fully engaged in the world and whatever it is that we do is already a Christian vocation.
Right.
Even if it's not a ministerial one.
That's very much.
While we're at it, though, let's just take a brief digression to say something about, if it's relevant to what we're going to do in the future, what we were in the past. A long-running show, when you think about it, longer than either the two of us were engaged.
Oh, it started in 1970. And I remember being on the program when A. Roger Goh, who was a professor here, started the program with the radio station. And his idea was to bring programming that would be of interest to the community and to let the community know what the thinking was on the Hill and the questions we were asking.
Funny, an interesting thing is that he was asked to do one of the devotional programs on radio, which there was a different one every day of the week. And he said, no, I won't do that, but I'll give you something else. And it also has, in these last 43 years, shown, and we hope to show that in the future, that theological education, especially including here on Seminary Ridge, can be and is engaged in the world for its own sake.
Very important
to us. I hope in some ways we had some effect on that. We always hope we did with the radio broadcast. How long were you with the show?
Well, I go back to 1990 or 91, mm-hmm. By chance, my co-host was going on sabbatical, that's you, Jerry, and asked me to sub while you were on sabbatical. And I said, oh, sure.
Define sub.
I was also untenured at the time.
Uh-huh. Well, I see. Saying yes was politically justifiable.
I thought, oh, this would be a good one to add to my portfolio. And so I started then and continued from that time. And so it's been a very long time, but an exciting time.
Both of us have been here by invitation and have been the torch has been handed to us. Roger Goble did the same for me after he'd established it. He said, how about doing a few programs? We did find out that this radio program was taxing. It was a different program for 52 weeks a year, which will allow us now to be a little bit more intensive with our program because they're not going to be on as often. But he asked to be relieved of some. I said, fine. A couple years later, he asked if I would like to do it full-time, and it was not difficult at all to make that transition. I enjoy talking. Surprise, surprise. what do you think you brought to the program? I can tell you what I think you brought to the program.
Well, I think... as I search to find my place in the program, I think when looking for guest speakers, etc., I veered toward multicultural and international personalities or issues, which reflected my interest in travel and engagement in the church,
right,
at the national and international levels. And so I think those are the types of things I brought. And the guests, you know, when I travel to Germany or South Africa or Zimbabwe, Brazil, I would always take, in those days, the audio tape recorder with me to be able to strike up a conversation and a radio program with an international guest.
Roger's great specialty was knowledge of the local situation, which more than I think either you or I had. His kids were growing up at the time. He really knew what was going on with the commissioners and with Board of Education. I wasn't so strong at that, but I hope did bring, along with you, a deeper interest in certain kinds of, sometimes really, well, some would think, abstruse theological topics, but ones I thought were very, very important to the...
Abstruse? Could you...
Well, I shouldn't put myself down on that, but people who had done work especially in new edges of theology. I enjoyed talking to them.
Right, and I think that was the exciting piece, you know,
exactly.
To know what was, you know, the ongoing conversation that's going on in theological circles. I think that was that certainly was a real contribution to the community and to the region to find out your interest and your conversation with these scholars who would come to Gettysburg.
Yeah. Now, like you, then when someone would come here, we would usually tap into them for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, whatever you get them for. And sometimes it really was a rush. But you'd sit down with the tape recorder right on the spot and say, let's talk about where you are with your theological views. And then people have noticed, though I'd never, you know, it came naturally, an emphasis on music and the arts, even though I'm not an artist or a musician. That's come naturally because of some of my contacts with musicians and artists. I think there's an element in the world that we need to be aware of in these facets.
Well, and certainly, you know, the arts has contributed
exactly
to the life of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot go into most churches without seeing art, without hearing music. And I think some of the church history I learned was listening to the music,
mm-hmm,
and the words, you know, growing up in the church. So that it's an integral part to our theological community or communities.
I am. You probably heard me use this example before, Nelson, and I'm not sure it's true, but even if it is, it's important that someone asked Satchmo, Louis Armstrong, once, Satchmo, what are you trying to say when you play your horn? He said, if I knew how to say it, I wouldn't have to blow it. Now, the artist, it seems to me, is that person who's trying to give expression to those groans in us, St. Paul talks about.
Exactly.
And that's why it's fun to talk to them. They may be seeing things or trying to express things that the rest of us have not been able to do, even if we're in...
Right,
we're
talking and engage in those questions, you know, that can only be answered through melody.
Yeah, exactly.
And, through song or through the art, through the eyes,
paintbrush, yes.
Through the eyes and ears of these,
exactly. The voices of these.
Exactly.
While we're waxing very eloquent here, perhaps we can come back to some basic practicalities. Who were your best guests, and who might you want to have in the future?
I don't want to say best guests, but...
Most some, interesting.
Interesting. I remember interviewing Martin Peter Hansel, who was the Lutheran pastor during the Civil War in Liberia, and who saw the carnage in the St. Peter's Lutheran Church. That was to interview him was remarkable.
To walk in the church and actually see
bodies, bodies,
oh boy.
And blood. I mean, that's I don't know how he survived that mentally, emotionally, etc. Mm-hmm. The other person was Catherine Kolb, who was in the late 70s in Iran, one of the hostages, 444 days, who came to study here when she finished with the State Department. She came to study theology, and I remember hearing her Christmas broadcast, she and the others, and listening to her, and I was in my early days of graduate school, and she said something about, you know, in her Christmas message, and I knew that she was a Christian, that she had grown up, that she was an active Christian, grew up in the Sunday school, and perhaps Lutheran, but I wasn't sure, but I knew this was a committed person. Yeah. I was fascinated by her and never thought that I'd ever, you know, in my wildest dreams, I'd get to interview her. And and when I did, she said that... I asked her, how did she feel, you know, about her captors? And she said she could not hate them because they were God's children. And I thought that was just marvelous, but a testimony to her faith.
I would add for myself a young Ed Rendell, not because of any particular views, but long before he was mayor or chairman of the Democratic Party or governor of Pennsylvania. But it illustrates how sometimes we catch people on the way up.
Yes,
we're lucky.
Yes, indeed.
And similarly, a young priest who later by the name of Kevin Rhodes, who later became the dean of a distinguished Roman Catholic seminary and is now the Archbishop of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Oh, my.
We catch him on the way up, you know? We're not.
Yeah, indeed. You know,
I have some that I caught on the way down, as it were. Abraham Lincoln. Don't laugh, but we have a wonderful Abraham
Lincoln. I knew you were old enough.
I only go as far as Schmucker. Abraham Lincoln is portrayed by one of our great impersonators in town, who has a lot to say about the life of Lincoln in the first person, and even Santa Claus. Now, don't laugh at that one especially, but it was our friend Bengt Hoffman, the great Bengt Hoffman, who became Santa Claus for a session during Christmas, and came down with sleigh and gifts and everything, but looked at the whole world that Christmas time as to what the issues were. You know, Ben could do so well.
Oh, marvelous.
What about questions? What do you wish you would have asked? What do you intend to ask on this program?
I think, for me, my concern is the transformation of the person, how the person came to be or to think in certain ways, that transformation, that educational process that took place in his or her life that made him or her have a passion for whatever we were talking about.
You're not just fact questions or what are you not doing? You want to get that out too, of course.
Right,
but
the introspection, the self reflection. Mm-hmm. That might assist others who have similar questions.
What we both want to do, I'm sure, is what we do in class, and that is simply try to help people to think through things.
Exactly.
No simple answers. Like Roger Goble said at the beginning, this is a question program.
Right.
It's a question podcast, not an answer podcast or answer program. So we have much we can do in the way of asking our people the big questions beyond where they are in their own work right now. If it's about housing, how do we resolve the question of lack of housing? How do we resolve the question of poverty? How do we address it? If it's about healing somebody in your parish, how do we get at the problems of health care in America and so on? So that we continue to stretch the imagination, the thought, the processes.
And also looking at a theology in justice.
Exactly. Oh, yes, and yes, yes. Justice questions are the ones we're truly interested in.
Yeah.
Who are you going to be among the first for you to...
Well, for me, it's going to be my delight to talk with two colleagues, and that is Drs. Brooke Schramm and Dr. Kirsi Sterna, who published the book on Luther and the Jews and the Bible, and that should be. I'm looking forward to that conversation.
And you have an international one coming up after that, something from France or Germany.
I'm going to be traveling. I have.
You have one already in the.
I have the new bishop German Church in the Church in Northern Germany.
Good. That shows those international dimension. I have the wonderful responsibility of interviewing the new executive director of the Seminary Ridge Museum, gifted person, Barbara Frankel. And after that, I think we have a program or two maybe coming up on apocalyptic, should interest people because we've done a good bit of study with groups here on apocalyptic and get some handle on what it really is and what it has meant to the people in our communities.
Yeah.
I think it's time for us to sign off our first and probably our last program together, Nelson.
That's right.
We're off on our own. I'm Jerry Christensen.
I'm Nelson Strober.
We're talking for the Seminary Explorers. Hope you'll join us again and again for the Seminary Explorers. Have a good day.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explores from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speakers and are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.